remembered something from yesterday. You remember something?
About Krishna was being Uchamodin, the bank of Yamuna, where all the Vrishvasis and all Kara boys' cows were being poisoned. And Krishna's jump on the Yamuna, and was being coiled by Kaliya. And then you explained very nicely about the mood of the rest of its mother. So Balaram was, you know, like his and his arms like a dumb whore. And then pacifying him.
Anyone else remember something? Remember something?
Right. I remember that one second you said about Krishna's Bhavagrahai. Bhavagrahai. He looks for the essence, the motive behind everything, not the access.
Now listen to this. After extinguishing the devastating fire. How did he extinguish the devastating fire? Krishna, surrounded by his relatives, his friends, his cows, the calves, and bulls, and glorified by his friends singing, again entered Vrindavan, which is always full of cows. Vrindavan, that is why Vrindavan is sometimes called the mysterious spiritual world is called Swetadip sometimes. Sweta means white, the white island, so that often refers to the tradition of the ocean of milk, but when in reference to Vrindavan, because there's so much milk everywhere, there's like an island in the ocean of milk, so it also can be called Swetadip. It's always full of cows. Does anyone know a name of one of the cows?
Lovely.
Lovely. Oh, lovely! Another one?
Shamali.
Oh, Shamali! Another one?
Madangamukhi.
Yes, oh, Madangamukhi! Why is Madangamukhi called Madangamukhi? Yeah. Anyone know another? Pingali.
Pingali.
Anyone know another? Who? Yeah. There were so many cows, and Krishna used to call them by their names. And sometimes he would play the flute. And the cows, he would climb up the tree and tear to them and call all the cows. And he would count them on a mala. The cows were in groups of 108. The 108 groups of cows arranged according to color and different things. Some of the cows had just been given birth to a calf, some had never given birth to calves, some had given birth to calves a long time ago, and they were all organized in different groups along their colors and different shapes. And Krishna knew each one of them, and the cows loved Krishna, and Krishna loved the cows. And I've heard there's different sounds you can. There's a, well. Just speaking about cows, and look who comes. Hare Krishna. all the Nepal audience, almost. Hare Krishna. How many cows did Krishna, did Nanda Maharaj have? Sahasra, Prabhu? How did he feed them all? That's so many, 900,000 cows. How can they fit there? What's your answer to that? How could he feed so many cows?
If he can feed my child, I'm sure he can feed 900,000
cows. That's interesting. Usually they use the logic the other way. If he can feed 900,000 cows, he can certainly feed my child. He's very busy there. That's why he's so strong in it. But who knows an answer to that? How is it possible that the Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows? And they were all nourished. And how big is Vrindavan? It's 84 square koshas. And what's that again in
Kala? 84 koshas.
Yes. But what is that in kilometers?
283,
roughly, 283. You're in the IT industry?
No.
Well, you brain like calculator, very good.
No, I just calculated when I did the
point. Oh. So how many 200 square kilometers?
One course is equal to 3.6 kilometers.
Yes?
Yeah. 3.5. If I can remember.
Yes. So how can 900,000 cows all maintain themselves with this after the grass? And cows take a lot of grass to eat because they go charanga, wandering from place to place. So how do they get all good enough grass to eat? Yes, this is the point. The Vrindavan is unlimited. It is unlimited in potency. It can feed unlimited cows. What to speak of 900,000 cows plus one baby also. Vrindavan is unlimitedly expanded. Vrindavan itself is unlimited in size. And in Shastra it describes that all the Vaikuntha planets, they're all unlimited. They're all infinite in size. Vrindavan is the biggest. Now try to understand that. They're all infinite in size, but Vrindavan is the biggest. This is not conceivable, is it? Because it contains... Huh? No. The idea, the one thing is that Vrindavan contains things that no other place, no other realm contains. It contains such a sweetness that no other place contains. And Sri Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're inviting us. You should go to Vrindavan. You should go to Vrindavan. And if you can count the cows if you like. You can play with Krishna. You can do so many wonderful things. But you cannot stay here in the material world with material consciousness and go to Vrindavan. So we have to decide where we want to go. Do we want to go or stay? All those who want to stay in the material world, the place of birth and death. Everyone raise your hand who wants to stay in the material world, the place of birth and death. All those who want to go and serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan in one way or another, be in the eternally sweet realm of Goloka Vrindavan, say, Harimol!
Harimol!
Yes, that's much better. No one wants to stay, everyone wants to go. So, they enter Vrindavan forest again, which is always full of cows, eternally full of cows. It's always auspicious because cows make the whole atmosphere auspicious. When Krishna and Balaram were enjoying life in Vrindavan, in the midst of the cowherd boys and girls, the season gradually changed to summer. Now, what is a little bit interesting here? For Krishna and Balaram were enjoying life in Vrindavan. What is interesting in that? They were enjoying life. We would also like to enjoy life, but they actually are meant to enjoy. They always enjoy. This is Krishna's position. Bhogaram Jantavasam. He is the supreme enjoyer. And we would like to enjoy, but we never quite get around to it. It's always, first let me do this, and then I'll be able to enjoy. And you know what happens? We end up doing this. As soon as we finish this, that comes. And before we can enjoy, then we have to do that. And then another this and a that comes. And in this and that way, we spend our whole life, and enjoyment somehow escapes us. But Krishna, he can do nothing but enjoy, because he's composed, his very nature, his body is composed of such ananda, eternity, bliss and knowledge. There's no question of distress entering him, because distress is caused by the modes of passion and ignorance. And there's no question of Krishna being touched by either passion or ignorance. Goodness causes happiness. Goodness causes happiness. And Krishna has all the three modes of material nature fully under his control, and they all cannot touch him any more than the king when he goes to the prison house. He doesn't have to eat the food that the prisoners have to eat. He has his own cooks bringing special food. He doesn't have to eat the prisoners' fare. So simply Krishna doesn't eat the nourishment of the modes of material nature. Rather, he is situated in the spiritual energy, sambhavatmamaya, his own apramaya, his own spiritual energy, ladini, samvit, and sandini. These are the three aspects of the internal energy that represent Satchitananda. So when Krishna and Balaram were enjoying life in Vrindavan, and this again is a speciality of Vrindavan, that every is Krishna and Balaram, and even Balaram, but every other living entity as well, their desire is to bring enjoyment to Krishna. That's very different from the material world. Because in the material world, everyone wishes to be the center of enjoyment themselves. And therefore, we can never actually enjoy any more than what's the example? What are the two examples that are used in the Bhagavatam? For us to enjoy, who knows the two, one of the two examples? One is compared to the stomach getting fed, and the other is the leaves of a tree. If the hands try to eat independently of the stomach and the mouth, they cannot get nourishment. So similarly, if we try to enjoy without feeding properly, eating in a proper way, we cannot be happy. This is so hard for a conditioned soul to accept, that I cannot be happy unless my attempt is to make Krishna happy. That brings true happiness. And the other example is watering the root of the tree. If we want the leaves to become watered, we have to water the root of the tree. If the leaves try to independently gain their nourishment, they cannot. So it is impossible, practically speaking, for a conditioned soul to accept this as reality, that I am meant to give Krishna pleasure. And by giving Krishna pleasure, that is like watering the root of the tree, or providing food to the stomach. Then all the limbs, the fingers, etc., the toes become nourished. So then the question is, how can I make Krishna happy? happiness, of course. Naturally, I want to be happy. So how can I make Krishna happy? This is the great question of life. How can I please Krishna? And then, knowing is one thing, and surrendering to it is yet another. So, everyone in Vrindavan, they have no tendency other than to make Krishna happy. This is the nature of their spontaneous love. They have no tendency other than to please Krishna. There's no influence on their life and their existence other than the desire to love Krishna. They have no influence of the modes of passion, ignorance, or even goodness. They only are influenced by one thing, the desire to please Krishna, because they spontaneously love him so much. Their consciousness is fully absorbed in Krishna, and they're tasting such ecstasy in their full absorption. So, while the coward boys and Krishna, in the midst of the boys and girls, coward boys and girls, in Vrindavan, the season gradually changed to summer. The summer season in India is not very much welcome because of the excessive heat. In Vrindavan sometimes it gets up to, I don't know what it is in centigrade, but it's sometimes in the yellow Fahrenheit. Huh?
It can go up to 47.
It can go up to 57. 57 at Govanan. Yes, that's, I knew it in Celsius. 57, I know one devotee who was there in Govanan when it was 57 in the summer. And he almost survived. His liver collapsed. All you can think about is, or talk about, oh, it's so hot. It's so hot. But in Vrindavan, everyone was pleased because there, summer appeared just like spring. This was possible only because Lord Krishna and Balaram, who were the controllers of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, were residing there. In Vrindavan there are many falls, waterfalls, which are always pouring water, and the sound is so sweet that it covers the sounds of the crickets. And because water flows all over, the forest always looks green, very green and beautiful. So Vrindavan is such a special place. Of course, we cannot exactly understand what Vrindavan is like, because just like a child, a little baby. How old is this little baby now?
13 months.
So he doesn't know how to work yet. He doesn't. Yes.
He does.
Walk or work?
Work.
What kind of work does he do?
He jumps us. That's his work.
What?
He jumps us.
He jumps him. He jumps you and everyone.
He does not either get his food. That's his work.
That's true. He works to get food. And it's effortless for him. Yeah, I never did it. He didn't mean it in a cruel way. He meant it in a way, I know, it was a very sweet way. That
the very bird Krishna has given each and every living entity the ways to survive.
And the way that a baby survives is by charming the parents. And therefore they love him so much they want to feed him. And if he didn't have the ability to charm the parents, then he wouldn't get fed. It was a very cute point, very sweet point. But what I meant to say, I was bringing the discussion in a different direction. that according to our consciousness, we perceive reality. So a little baby perceives reality in one way, and a person who only thinks about money perceives reality in another way, and a person who is an artist, he sees colors and form everywhere he looks. Is that true? He sees everything in terms of colors and form. An artist and a person who is a businessman, only has business in his mind. When he looks at something, he sees, oh, this is a good way to make money. This is it, like that. And even, it's even true that if you're thinking of buying a car or a house, say you're driving around Perth and you want to buy a house, everywhere you'll see for sale signs. That's all you'll see. It's true. So what we see depends on our consciousness. It doesn't depend on reality, because Krishna is the only one who sees reality fully. What we see is only a small part of the reality, the totality of all of existence. Obviously, we are tiny, we cannot perceive everything in existence. So, according to our consciousness, we see different things. So, the beauty of Vrindavan can be seen especially by someone who is very deep and pure in his Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's been said that there's two aspects of Vrindavan, prakat and aprakat. That means the manifest and that which is unmanifest to our material vision. But someone who has spiritual vision can actually perceive, even today, the same beauty of Vrindavan that existed during the time when Krishna was revealing his amazing pastimes. Why? Because he has so much love for Krishna. His love for Krishna is like a gateway that opens up a path to the spiritual world. Because his consciousness is like that, he will see. This is also described in Brahma Samhita. Kaimanjana Chaita Bhakti Valochanena Santa Sadaiva Videshi Valokayanti Nam Sham Sundaram Achintya Guna Surukam Govindamari Purusham Tabaham Vajam. A person who is came Anjana, his eyes are smeared with the ointment or the kajal of love, because that means his consciousness is covered with love, is permeated with love. Everywhere he looks, not just in one place, not just in a temple, but everywhere he looks he will see Krishna. Because he has that consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So, when Krishna was in Goloka Vrindavan, there were many beautiful waterfalls. So, what sense does the waterfalls enliven? Hearing. The sound, the beautiful sound of water, soothes the mind so much, and it covers the sound of the crickets, because the sound of crickets are not considered very auspicious or beautiful. And also, the waterfalls also make a fine mist, and it's very, very cooling to the atmosphere. It keeps the atmosphere very fresh. And then the breezes would be blowing in Vrindavan. And they would go over the pools of water that were filled with crystal clear water and that had lotuses in them. And they would carry the fragrance of the lotuses for for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is again the speciality of Vrindavan, that everyone in Vrindavan, every entity in Vrindavan, and this has been described in the 15th chapter, in the beginning of the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, when Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys are tending the cows on the Krishna Ashtami of the Kartik month, Shukla Paksha, that they enter the forest, for the Vrindavan forest, for the first time. And every living entity, from the bees to the flowers to the trees to the creepers, they're all interested in pleasing Krishna and offering their gifts to Krishna. So because they have that consciousness, therefore they're in Vrindavan. Soon as we have that consciousness filled with love for Krishna, we too will be in Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan. When did you go on your parikrama? Your Vrajmandal parikrama?
4 years before.
4 years before. What was your what was your favorite place?
The whole Vraj. The whole
out of all the whole Vraj, which was your favorite place?
Vrindavan.
Vrindavan town. Krishna Balaram Mandir?
There's a temple called Bhakti Vihari Jiva Mandir.
Yes. You're from Delhi?
No, I'm from Bihar.
Oh, okay. Because everyone from Delhi, they must go to Bhakti Vihari Mandir. And also Angreji Mandir. Two places you must go if you're from Delhi. That was your favorite place. What did you love about Bhakti Vihari Mandir more than anything else?
The whole place. When you just went there, felt the essence of Krishna, the heartfelt good
sweetness of Krishna.
Sweetness of Krishna.
Wonderful. Lucky.
He was almost just also feel his presence over there.
And you walked all over, brother. For how long? How long did it take you?
I did the Vrajmandal for Govardhan.
You didn't walk through the full Vrajmandal program. Next time, maybe.
Maybe. But I can't walk barefoot because there's so many thorns in the way in some out areas of the forest. So it's almost if you're. Unless you are very determined, you can't walk barefoot. So you have to wear shoes or some kind of socks or something to just cover your feet. And if you do that, then the whole real purpose of doing the parikrama is just foregone. So
what is the real purpose of doing the parikrama?
It said that if you do the parikrama of the whole Vraj, it is equivalent to doing, it's equivalent to visiting all the places in India. Like
what's the purpose?
Ayodhya.
What's the purpose?
To get, well, back in India we said that it will help us to wash our sins, our sins will be reduced and will be will get elevation towards the Krishna consciousness and will get the love and affection towards the Krishna consciousness. So it's like for every Vaishnava, that parikrama, it's a must do at least once in their lifetime. But it's not. Most people don't do it barefoot, but there are many people who just do with the thongs or socks, heel cotton socks.
So what's the purpose of the parikrama? To gain love for Krishna, because the idea is that the dust of Vrindavan and the atmosphere and buzz is so holy and is so surcharged with the activities that are going on there and went on there, that when we touch Yes, with our consciousness especially, even if we do it absent-mindedly, but especially if we are Krishna conscious, when we do it, we make incredible advancement towards the goal of Krishna prema.
Actually, it's for me, it goes, I'm here in Australia only because after I went to Vrindavan and I just did the darshans at all the places, because for me it was like a big career move, and it only happened once I done the, once I went to the Vrindavan and the other places in Braj, so only then, and only then I just came down to Australia. Otherwise there were just too many complexities in my case with my visas and with all the stuff, so only then it got resolved and I just...
So this is the special hint for getting a visa for Australia.
Maybe not only for Australia, but maybe what you want to do in your life.
Yeah, or what do you want to do in your life?
Serve Krishna and also maybe serve Krishna to his best ability, and at the same time do your duties that is meant for you to do at the same time. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
You're not wrong, but you're not right either. Somewhere in between. But no, you're not wrong. But I think my understanding is that if we get a very deep taste for serving Krishna in Vrindavan, a very deep taste, then all our other duties in life become completely secondary. And that taste drives us, like forcibly drives us towards Krishna's service. So that of course is very rare and most wonderful. Because after all, I was listening to Prabhupada speak in a lecture, and he was saying, we know that Krishna came to re-establish religious principles. What is in the Bhagavad Gita? Dharma samstapanataya sambhavama yuge. So he comes like the yada yada dharmasya to re-establish religious principles. Then why, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was speaking from a very high level, did he say then later sarvadhamam pratyaja, give up all forms of religion? He came to establish the established religion, but then he says, give up all forms of religion and just surrender to me. So Prabhupada said, why? In other words, religious duties. And then he said, because, I won't be able to imitate it the way he said it, but he said, because all those forms of religion are not actually religion. And there's only one duty. This is, of course, he's speaking on a very ultimate level. So Krishna wants you to establish the actual duty for a soul, for a human being. And that means to act on the level of a soul in relationship to Krishna and to surrender to him and to go to the realm of Krishna. This is a very high level. But yet it's true. So all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are there and they can see Krishna and they can see the beauty of Krishna and they can see the beauty of the Vrindavan forest. Why? Because they have such deep love for Krishna. Because their consciousness allows them to see full reality, not full, but as much as a person can see. In other words, his relationship with Krishna. We see this again. According to our consciousness, when we're in bad consciousness, everything looks bad, and when we're in good consciousness, everything is good. So it doesn't have anything to do with everything, it has to do with our consciousness. So when we have Krishna consciousness, when we're actually Krishna conscious, which means I've placed Krishna in the center, and my whole existence is devoted to pleasing Him, then Vrindavan forest, and Prabhupada says, because water flows all over, the forest always looks green, very green and beautiful. Not like the deserts of Perth. It's never looked green or beautiful. Sometimes, but not so often. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were never disturbed by the scorching heat of the sun or the high summer temperatures. The lakes of Vrindavan are surrounded by green grasses, and various kinds of lotus flowers bloom there, such as the Kalara, Kanja, and Utpal. And the air blowing in Vrindavan carries the aromatic pollen of those lotus flowers. And the particles of water from the waves of the Jamuna, the lakes and the waterfalls, touch the bodies of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they automatically felt a cooling effect. Therefore, they were practically undisturbed by the summer season. Vrindavan is such a nice place. When you went to Vrindavan, did you think it was an ordinary place? No, extraordinary. How about you, when you went to Vrindavan?
Sorry, I'm not been
there. Oh, when will you go?
Let's hope very soon.
How soon would you like to go? One day, did you say? Or one day?
Yeah. When I go to, you know, Nepal, maybe I'll try to go this time.
You don't sound very convinced. When I go to my Nepal, I will try and go this time. So, when you went to Nepal last time, did you go to Vrindavan for sure, or did you just try? For sure. You said, I am going to Nepal, but I will go to Vrindavan. You didn't say, well, maybe I'll perhaps I'll try to go to Vrindavan, maybe.
I went to Vrindavan first, then I went to.
See? It's a good lesson. Because where did you get off the plane? Delhi. Where will you get off the plane? Kathmandu. Anyway, what airlines will you go? If you go Air India, you can say, please let me off in Delhi. I'd like to go to Delhi first, so I can go to Vrindavan. So, everything in Vrindavan was so wonderful. And when one's consciousness is really like the resonance of Vrindavan, then one really belongs in Vrindavan. Otherwise, you just get a partial glimmer of Vrindavan, of the wonder of Vrindavan. But even that partial glimmer is so wonderful. Vrindavan is such a nice place, Prabhupada says. Flowers are always blooming, and there are even various kinds of decorated deer. Birds are chirping, peacocks are crowing and dancing, and bees are humming. And the cuckoos there sing nicely in five kinds of tunes. When I was in Hong Kong recently, there was a cuckoo. Of course, there are many cuckoos in Hong Kong, that's a different kind. But there was a bird, who can make the sound of a coil? You know how to make the sound? Gujaratis, you know how to make the sound of a coil?
Not exactly, but...
We won't look, so you won't laugh. Go ahead. You do it.
That says cool.
No. You know how to do it? No, they don't make it. That doesn't sound like that. You know how to do it? I can't do it. Sufal knows how to do it really well. Yes! Oh, something like that. Do you know how to do it?
No.
Devaki? No. Do you know how to make coils, cuckoo sounds? Huh? Did they have those in the Philippines? But they had them in Hong Kong. It was so nice. Every morning. But they only come in the same season, just in the hot season of Vrindavan, they start. So it makes such a nice time. No, it was winter, but it was the same time of the year. Yeah, that's what they said, like, very good. So the birds, so just the scene was so beautiful, because this is like the setting. Like when, if you take a jewel, it's very nice, but for a jewel to be properly shown, you need the proper setting. So the proper setting for the jewel of Krishna is Vrindavan, especially the jewel of C.C. Radha and Krishna. This is Vrindavan. So this is how beautiful the setting of Vrindavan was. For Krishna is yet, no matter how beautiful the setting is, it is the jewel that gives us its true beauty. So the cuckoos, so the sounds, the waterfalls were flowing very nicely, cooling everyone. There were lotuses everywhere. The trees were, everything was blossoming, and there were bees humming. And there, in this beautiful setting, and there were waterfalls, in this beautiful setting, Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, blowing his flute, accompanied by his elder brother Balaram and the other cowherd boys in the cows, they entered the beautiful forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere. So here's the second time that it is said that Krishna was enjoying. So he and Balaram entered Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere, because it was all meant for their pleasure. All the trees, all everything. All the whole forest is set up with the lakes and the rivers and the waterfalls and the lotuses. Everything is set up for the enjoyable pleasure of Krishna. When a baby cries, it's not really disturbing to the parents, especially because of the love. Again, it's the point of consciousness. Because of love, it changes everything. But this baby cries, doesn't cry so much, yes? No. So Krishna, in the beautiful setting of Vrindavan, Krishna, who is the reservoir of pleasure, he is Govinda. Reservoir means there's a reservoir of water. And all we do is turn on the tap, and the water from the reservoir comes to us. So similarly, Krishna has all pleasure. All pleasure is within him. His existence means ecstasy, satsidananda. So he was blowing his flute. He was playing his flute, and the flute was the most wonderful sound in Vrindavan, and the flute, the effects of the flute are described later. Svandanam gatimatam. Svandanam gatimatam. Things that were hard became soft, like Giriraj Govardhan. When Krishna would play his flute and stand upon the hill, the rock was melt. And even today, there are places that have the footprints of Krishna and Giriraj and other rocks in Vrindavan. And things that are hard, things that are soft, like the waters of the Yamuna, they will become hard and stop their flowing. So it would be an exchange of qualities due to the amazing sound of Krishna's flute. And calves would stop drinking the milk from their mother's udders. and cows, tears would come from their eyes as their tears would go up in cups. Gavas cha krishna mukham anubhakti vena vitam. So they, Krishna and Balaram, and the other cowherd boys and the cows, entered the beautiful forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere. Now, who was with Krishna and Balaram at this time? Cowherd boys and cows. Yes. But they were enjoying with Krishna and Balaram. But how about the other residents of Vrindavan, such as the cowherd men and the cowherd ladies and the Braja Gopikas? Where were they and how were they enjoying in Vrindavan? Is it only the cows and the cowherd boys who were enjoying? They were thinking of Krishna constantly, because it was completely natural for them to think of Krishna constantly due to their love for Krishna. So all day long, when Krishna would be away, that's called Vipralamba Seva, they would always be immersed in moods of separation for Krishna. They would just be thinking, oh, Krishna must be entering the forest. And when Krishna would enter the Vrindavan forest, he would play his flute just to let everyone in Vrindavan know that now he was entering the Vrindavan forest. And all the gopis and all, everyone would just think, oh, now Krishna is entering the forest. Oh, only if we could be cowherd boys, we could be with Krishna when he's entering the forest. And in the thinking of Krishna, so deeply and longingly, with love, Krishna appeared with them, always was with them. He appears wherever the devotees are thinking of him with such love, he cannot keep away. So he entered the beautiful forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere. Is he tired? Or is he hungry?
No, he's just tired.
Oh, there he is. He has a face like a moon. And a smile like the sun. But we cannot see the smile, we can only see the sun, only the moon now. Because it's nighttime. He looks like a painting, doesn't he?
Everybody said he looks like Yanni Nasrabhu.
That is mystical.
I think maybe you have stolen his baby.
Go like this. This is if he looks like you. Let's go like this. It's also when he's tired. No. It's lotus eyes. How nice. Okay, we'll stop here. And tomorrow, because now the actors have moved onto the stage, and now tomorrow we'll hear what they do when they're on the stage. We heard a little bit about the beauty of the stage and the setting, but the real beauty is the jewels in the setting. So Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys are all there. What will they do? Any questions or comments?
It is amazing that it's the summer season and the wind is cooling him.
Because usually in the summer the wind just causes trouble, especially in Mandalay. Hot winds. So why is it amazing?
Because wind is also offering service even in the summer season.
What's amazing about that?
That it only happens in the Vrindavan Dham, and it doesn't happen at other places, because in some required some other place you would be facing you would be having a hot wind going across, and it doesn't make your life easier, but over here in Vrindavan, because there's Lord Krishna over there.
Well, what's amazing?
It's not amazing, but it's just the difference that one has to notice. And sometimes one does speak, but he doesn't really acknowledge the difference between the two places. That's the important part, I guess.
It could be amazing because when Krishna is there, and his pure devotees are there, Sairu Kusami and Sashkasami, the blue or the hot air or the summer didn't bother them at all. They felt it's cool. And Krishna was the same thing, it felt cool. But when Krishna is not there, when demoniac people are over there trying to enjoy Vrindavan, they feel heat. So it's the same energy of Krishna as positive and negative, according to the previous talking about consciousness. If our consciousness is right over there, same energy of Krishna positive to us. But if we are not Krishna conscious, that becomes negative.
So is that true of this world also?
Exactly. And the pure devotee of the Lord doesn't go through suffering. Although it may look like us as if they are suffering, but in fact they are enjoying themselves. Their body is going through, but they themselves are going through the body.
How do they do that?
Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness. How can they possibly take things that cause pain into their bodies and not suffer? This is amazing. This is amazing.
Prahlad Maharaj was boiling in hot boiling oil. He was enjoying
it. Giving his fright.
Not at all. And Dhruva Maharaj, same thing, when he was meditating, he said, that's difficult. Demigods in heaven start to over, but Dhruva Maharaj couldn't transform. Why? Because he had that link with the Lord.
And that was very deep. Because if our connection with Krishna isn't deep, if it is theoretical or on the surface, it will get knocked over when the waves of the material energy push and pull, the winds of the material energy blow, it's knocked over. So therefore, as Prabhupada said, he looked at the Pacific Ocean, he was walking with the devotees, and said, why is the Pacific Ocean peaceful? And then he himself answered the question, because it is deep. So depth of Krishna consciousness is the only protection from the waves and winds of the material energy as they, according to our fate, pass over us. That's the Krishna consciousness. So omnipotence. That's quite sobering. Okay, thank you. So tomorrow we shall continue. The jewels will start playing on the setting, on the stage of Vrindavan. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vaishnava Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Ki Jai, Balagopal and all his friends, Ki Jai.
Yeah,
is there a monkey on that car?
Yeah.
Did you take all his toys with you?
Yeah.
Did you carry the toys as hand lunch? When I was going to an airport in New York one time, I used to carry my Giriraj around my neck. And the New York security people said something, because he was in a mail case. So when I went through the security, they said, "What?" It beeped. No, not at that time. No, but what they did was they said, "Okay, what's around your neck?" And I just said, "It's just a little metal case." And it's in the metal case. It's my holy rock. Let me see your holy rock. Something of this Giri Raj, a big smile. It's my holy rock. All right, go.
All right, really.
All right. He went like I said. So when you went to security, they said, "Whose duck is that?" "It's not mine, officer. It belongs to Balagopal. Not my duck. I know. I never bring a duck into WA. That wouldn't go over very well. It's his duck." Any questions you ask him? Okay, Hare Krishna.